What's going on, everybody? It is Thursday, and that means we are talking about two start pitchers, the lifeblood of many of our teams, especially those of you who are in head-to-head leagues. Doesn't matter if it's roto or points leagues, you get you some two start pitchers and you ride them. We've got a few under the radar guys that we're going to talk about today here on the Stoned On Sports podcast, and some folks you may not have considered or thought about. As always, we got Kyle here with me. Kyle, I really enjoy the two start pitcher conversation, and I think today is going to be no different.
It is. And you know, by looking ahead, targeting matchups and pitchers who have more than one start in a week, you can really improve your weekly or even your daily output from the starting pitcher position. The goal is to, kind of peer into the future, point out some less rostered guys. You know, generally we're under 60%, but we might have a few that creep above that. But there's some great advantages to taking advantage of a guy that takes the mound twice in a week.
Yeah, absolutely. We're also going to talk about a few waiver wire targets today. But before we jump into all of that, do want to say thank you to all of our subscribers and everybody that comes to hang out with us. We are on the road to 200 subscribers, and we cannot get there without you. We're getting very, very close, and both of us are really enjoying the community that we're building here.
Absolutely.
But I think, Kyle, it's time to start asking a question. To start or not to start? And I think we are going to kick it off with Patrick Sandoval of the Los Angeles Angels. He's kind of an interesting dude this week. You look at the starts on the surface, and he's at Tampa and at Cincinnati, and you think, damn, that's kind of rough looking. Well, not really. Both teams are mid-pack in terms of their on-base percentage. The Reds are 10th in scoring, the Rays 15th. The Rays in particular have really been lacking for power. And you look at Sandoval and his stats, you know, he's got a 6.57 ERA, but it's not real. That's buoyed by a 4.21 BABIP, and he's got a 2.72 FIP. So, you know, on the surface, again, it seems like he's not doing that great. Well, that's not really the case after all. And it's a shame that, quite frankly, he's only 5% owned. His velo is up a mile an hour. He's not allowing hard contact. He's got just a 31.6% hard hit rate and an 87.3 mile an hour average exit velocity. His walk rate is a bit high, but is due for some regression. His walks per nine is a full walk over his career average, and he's yet to allow a home run, which is fantastic. And then we look back at the teams again and how they perform on an at-bat per at-bat basis. Both of them are bottom third in the league in walks, and both of them are top third in the league in strikeouts. So they don't walk a whole hell of a lot. They're striking out a bit. The Rays are bottom five in both chase rate and whiff rate. And you look at Sandoval's peripherals. He's got a 12.9% swinging strike rate, a 30% whiff rate, a 24.6% strikeout rate, and he's averaging 10.9 strikeouts per nine. It's early in the season, you know, so we're not going to get too ahead of ourselves. But there's some regression, and in this case, positive regression that I think is coming his way. Ultimately, this week's going to come down to run support in terms of him getting wins, but I think he should provide somewhere around 12 innings pitched and just as many strikeouts. The two road starts are a concern, but looking at him over his career, he's actually been a slightly better pitcher on the road than he has been at home. I think he can end up somewhere around 35 points and maybe get you a little bit more.
Yeah, he's looked solid so far. Tuesday start, not so well. Four runs on six hits, three walks over five innings. He did strike out six, and he took the loss. Watching some of that game, he was kind of all over the place. Walked multiple batters for a third straight start while logging a pair of wild pitches and a balk. Usually not his he's usually better than that. So above average and exit velo, chase rate, whiff rate, barrel percentage, and hard hit rate. The K's are, you know, above average. He needs to limit those walks a bit more. I think he's in the bottom 30% in the league so far, but he's a lefty. He's has, you know, he's yet to make it through six innings, which is concerning. Maybe it's not so much in this day and age of the MLB. That's probably right about right, or maybe actually above average. But considering he's good, like you said, at limiting power with that BABIP, better days are likely ahead for him. He's got the, I think it's a rematch, a revenge game there against the Rays. And while you mentioned the Reds, the ballpark, you know, his fly ball rate's above average, but he can stick. He can definitely succeed there if he sticks to his good ground ball rate so far this season.
For sure.
Love it. Okay, next up we have Ross Stripling with the Oakland Athletics. As soon as I find my spot here. He's dual eligible at starting pitcher and relief pitcher, which is always nice to plug in, help get you an extra start in a non-start position. It's kind of helpful. He's Monday on the 15th going to be home versus the Cardinals, and then Sunday the 21st at Cleveland. He's just 2% owned on Yahoo. In three games so far, some stuff hasn't looked great. All right. He's 0-3, 18 innings pitched. He's faced a total of 79 batters, allowed 26 hits, 11 of them earned, or 11 earned runs, I should say. Just one home run, five walks, 14 strikeouts. The ERA is high at 5.50, and the WHIP is equally high at 1.72. The strikeout rate's not great at that 17.7, but he has kept the free passes down with a nice 6.3 walk rate, helped limiting some of, you know, the damage that could come to him, not allowing hard contact. Hard hits a very low 25%, to put that in context. The MLB average is just 39.1%. So in 60 of his batted balls, he's had just one that's considered been barreled. Remember, a barrel is any batted ball that has an exit velocity of at least 98 miles per hour. So he is hitting the shit out of the ball. Exit velo, he's keeping the exit velo low, I should say. You're probably asking, you know, why his main stats, that 5.5 ERA, that high WHIP, why they're so poor, while some of his underlying ones are so good. Number one, his line drive rate is extremely high at 33.9. So remember, line drives turn into runs more often than ground balls, fly balls. So that's helping. BABIP as well is at 424. Remember, that measures how much or how often a non-home run batted ball falls for a hit. So they're not helping him out back there. He's had some bad luck. Oakland is number one in the major leagues with 19 errors on the season. So, you know, due to some bad luck, due to some poor performance of the defense behind him, it's kind of, you know, stats have suffered, especially wins as well. Let's see. Number three. In his three starts, the Athletics have scored a total of six runs. That's not. In fact, they've scored a total of just 36 runs in 12 games. Good for 28th in the league. By comparison, in the same number of games, like the Cubs, for instance, they played 12 games. They've scored 73 runs, fourth in the league. Now, why am I pushing him for it? I love the start versus the Cardinals. The Guardians worry me a little bit with how well they've played with that 9-3 record. But I've looked today. I think Matt mentioned, you know, it's kind of some smoke and mirrors. And if you look at some of the deep data, it does appear to be so that they've gotten kind of lucky as well. So I like him week four, two starts.
Yeah, there you are going to have we'll call it a concern. Over some run support, which is completely understandable with that Oakland team. And even you talked about the Cleveland start with the way he's limiting hard contact. And you look at how Cleveland is, they have the second lowest average exit velocity as a team and the third worst hard hit percentage. He's inducing such soft contact. Just the defense behind him isn't doing him any damn favors. And that's also reflected in his 64.2% strand rate. Typically, you'll see league average be right around 73%. And that means more runners are coming around to score once they get on base. And a lot of that is driven by just the piss poor defense that's being played there in Oakland. Side note, Fisher sucks as the owner, and I feel terrible for the fans there and what they're going through. But as soon as they move to Sacramento, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to call them the Sacramento Triple A's. They no longer have rights to be called the A's because they're playing in a minor league ballpark. One thing I really like about Ross, especially for those of you who are in points leagues, he's averaging 6 innings per start. And if he can get out there and give you 6 innings, even if he's only giving you 4 or 5 strikeouts across those 6 innings, that's a nice little stash of points to begin with. And you talk about the errors. I don't care about how many unearned runs they give up. I only care about the earned runs that are allowed. And there haven't been as many as... That doesn't make sense. So we're going to scratch that.
Yeah. And my point was, you know, I was just trying to tell everyone how inept the Oakland Athletics kind of are. So
it is. All right. We got another guy we're going to talk about here. Another low-owned cat, a Michigan guy, Tommy Henry of the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's a hell of a picture you found for him there. Yeah. He's got starts against the Cubs and at San Francisco. And his numbers on the surface look terrible. He got blown up in his first start and are being skewed by that. In his last 2 starts across 10 innings pitched, he's allowed 4 earned runs, struck out 11. He's walked 5, which is a touch high. But then you consider that those starts were at Atlanta and at Colorado. Those numbers start to look a whole hell of a lot better. He has given up a long ball in each of his 3 starts. You don't really like to see that. You look at the Cubbies on the road, they're just 2-4 this season, scoring just a hair over 4 runs a game. And the Giants are only scoring a little over 2 runs per game at home. His hard contact is higher than what you want to see. His hard hit rate sits at 48.9% with a 91.8 average exit velocity. But he's countering that by doing a fantastic job of inducing ground balls. That sits at 53.3%. He's got a 22.1% strikeout rate and a 9.6 K per nine. Those are both career highs. Granted, it's a small sample of just 3 starts, but it shows that, you know, he's off to a halfway decent start. His BABIP is also about 30 points higher than what his career average is. His contact rate is also high, but he's working in the zone more often this season to the tune of 53.8%. He doesn't have a dominant fastball, but he's cut that usage in half in exchange for breaking pitches and off-speed stuff. I think he's like the next tier up from a desperation play, and I think across the 2 starts, he could get you 30 points.
Yeah. He's from Portage, Michigan. There, of course, there's a Portage in every Midwest state, I believe. So anyway.
And he went to the University of Michigan.
Yep. Definitely that outing against the Rockies was challenging, and he really managed to keep what I liked is he really managed to keep the damage to a minimum on those 3 runs, 4 hits. Well, 2 of them were earned, but and like you said, it's kind of, you know, kind of mixed results on the mound to begin the season. If you look back at his spring training, he had a few rough starts there as well. So definitely monitor him over his next few starts. But I would recommend him to roll out there. Does walk too many guys, but he really helps himself out with that ground ball rate of 53%.
Absolutely. And remember, these guys we're talking about, they're not aces. They're not set it and forget it. They're not plug and play. These are dudes who you are streaming from the waiver wire that we think can give you a couple halfway decent starts and not kill you.
Yep. That's the important thing. Don't get no negative points. Oh, God. Next up, we're headed to Baltimore with Cole Irvin, another dual eligible guy that helps in fantasy as well. Started a couple games so far. Let me back up. He's got Monday at home versus the Twins, Sunday the 21st at Kansas City. He's just 1% owned on Yahoo. In 2 games through so far against the Royals and the Red Sox, he's 0-1, 14 batters faced, 14 hits, 9 earned runs allowed, 5 walks, 7 Ks, ERA of 8.1 with a whip that's just ugly. Not great, right? Not great. So, but there are some things to like. Okay, I like his low line drive rate of 11.4. That's a full 10% less than MLB average. He's inducing outs with a nice ground ball rate of 45.7. That's 3% above average. That improves on his last year's ground ball rate of 41.7. Strikeout rate is kind of low. His walk rate could be better. You know, you can see his command and velocity are not quite where it needs to be, but I see some improvements. He has given up a lot of hard contact, evidenced by his 45.7% hard hit rate and high 17% barrel rate. He's kind of been, you know, faced some bad luck and some poor defense as well. BABIP against the start against the Royals was 368, and the next one against Boston was even worse at an even 400. There's a lot to like with the two starts this week. He gets a revenge game against the Royals that he threw against on the second, and then he gets one of the worst offenses in the league in the Minnesota Twins, where they are currently tied with the White Sox with a league low 29 runs scored.
So I'm going to be perfectly honest here. The reason why I would want to target Cole Irvin is because of Minnesota. And yeah, you just undersold how bad their offense is. All right. They are last in average. They're hitting 184 as a team. They're last in hits. They're bottom five in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, home runs, and runs. That is an offense that I don't want to say I don't care who the pitcher is, but I'm going to be much more lenient in who I want to run out there against that team until they can show they can do absolutely anything, because right now they're showing nothing. Kansas City, that offense has been hot. Not going to lie. They just abused the shit out of Hunter Brown earlier today. And we'll speak on him here in a little while. I know I'm sure all of you are excited to hear that. One thing I noticed, he's changed up his pitch mix this year. He's now leading with his curveball, and that has a 154 batting average against and a 29.2% whiff rate, but his four-seamer is getting smoked. So he's got some stuff to work on. I love the Minnesota start. Kansas City, I'm not super enthused. The one thing that's nice, though, you know he's going to get a good amount of run support with that Baltimore offense.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to talk about somebody who is a little bit higher owned, but not as high as you would expect.
Yeah, and that's, shockingly.
Yeah, that's Zach Littell of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's got that dual SP-RP eligibility. His two starts are at versus the Angels and at the Yankees. He struggled with his command last time out. He wasn't really efficient, but he's still only given up 2 earned runs and 15 and a third innings pitched. There's going to be some volatility with him because he's not really a ground ball pitcher. He gives up a lot of fly balls and line drives, but so far this year, he's been outstanding at limiting the hard contact. Just an 85.7 mile an hour average exit velocity and a 25.6% hard hit rate. And he's giving you a strikeout per inning with a 23.4% strikeout rate. His walks are below average, and he's not giving up a home run. And that's what we like. We like pitchers who can get a strikeout when they need it, who don't issue free passes, and they keep the ball in the damn park. His BABIP is also a little high at 341. Mm-hmm. The thing with him, like, opposing teams are just kind of hitting it where they aren't against him, and that's, I mean, really what you try to do. He had an excellent start in Colorado, 5 innings pitched, 1 earned, 5 hits, 5 strikeouts, and he's getting good run support. His slider has been dominant this year, an 091 batting average against and a 182 expected batting average against, and his splitter's got a 36.4% whiff rate. The Yankees start is a little more worrisome than the start against the Angels, which, you know, Captain Obvious, thank you for that. Yankees lead the league in walks, so that's going to be the key to his success, is to not issue free passes against that team, because the Yankees have been very patient thus far. I think in points leagues, depending on your scoring, he should be able to get you 35 points, and there's a chance for some upside there as well.
Yeah, and he had a start against the Angels yesterday, went 4 1/3, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So he's been, you know, a bright spot, really, on the mound for the Rays so far to begin the season. He's just allowed 1 run or less, while also striking out at least 4 in all 3 of those starts. So there's a nice floor there, some consistency. You like to see it. The offense is playing pretty well. So, you know, pick him up, grab him He's somebody that I would start for these two starts in week four, but I wouldn't drop him right away. I'd probably put him on my bench and kind of wait and watch and see kind of what happens. But he's somebody I actually have in both of my leagues. One of them, I put him on a three-year contract in the home league. I love it. So he's worth monitoring from here going forward, especially with all these starting pitching injuries and, you know, fantasy managers that are already pressing the panic button.
Oh, yes. And there's some of them out there that are beating the shit out of that panic button.
They absolutely are. Okay, this is one guy, very high rostered, 93% on Yahoo. This is Sonny Gray with the St. Louis Cardinals. You're probably asking, you know, why are we including him on a low-owned show? It was his first start this week, so he started on the injured list. So we did want to kind of highlight him, talk about him a little bit, and he's got some nice matchups. One's at Oakland on the 15th on Monday, and then Sunday the 21st at home versus the Brewers. He had a start the other day that was fantastic against the Phillies, got the win, going five innings, faced total of 18 batters, five hits, no runs, zero walks. You'll love that. And five Ks. So welcome back, Sonny Gray, with a 27.8% strikeout rate and a one flat whip. Just four of his 13 batted balls were hard hit, and he allowed zero barrels as well. Had just one line drive. Kept 50% of the batted balls on the ground, but did allow plenty of fly balls. He's always been an above average fly ball pitcher. He gets lucky a lot, keeping the ball in the park and relying on his defense. So this is a guy played for the Twins last year, started 32 games. You know, he was out there full fucking time, went 8-8, 2.79 ERA, 1.15 whip, a little high, but not bad, with 183 strikeouts. So far as fastball velos, down a tick, whiff rate, you know, could have been a little bit better in that start the other day. But again, it's his first start. He's just getting dialed in. I'll take a start against the lowly Athletics and pitcher-friendly Busch Stadium any day.
For sure. Milwaukee, though, is kind of sneaky good this year. Is offensively, they're top five in all three triple slash categories, and they're tied for third in home runs, which I did not expect out of that team coming into the year, but good for them. The Oakland start looks great. They've struck out the fifth most times in baseball, and in that, you know, the Coliseum is called that for a damn good reason. There's so much damn foul ground there that is, you know, definitely a pitcher's park. And that's where he came up is with Oakland. So he gets a chance to go back home to where he started his career and then abuse the shit out of that franchise and those hitters. One thing to keep in mind, though, with it being only his second and third starts, he's likely to be on a pitch count. He only threw just 64 pitches in his first start. Maybe they'll try and push it to 80, 85, something like that. But I can't see him going out there and throwing anywhere near 100 pitches this early in the season. But other than that, I'm very happy to run him out there.
He's not going to hurt you, you know, so he maybe only gets you an equivalent of, you know, 26 points. Okay. Through both starts. Something like that. Really, you'll kind of take 13 in average in some of these leagues, especially with starting pitchers, you know, at the hospital one after another, and just some lack of some standard starting pitching, solid starting pitching this season. So he's ramping up. You know, he'll be in midseason form here shortly, 6 weeks.
Yeah. This season is definitely testing a lot of teams' organizational depth. That's for sure.
It is.
So this one, and this is a name a lot of you probably have not heard in quite a while, and that's Joe Ross of the Milwaukee Brewers. He has starts against San Diego and at St. Louis. He is just 1% owned.
But he's gained 1% in the last day. So he was zero fucking owned 24 hours ago.
Nice. Look at him. Yeah. Growing exponentially.
Right.
And there was, I know you and I kind of went back and forth because, you know, is he going to be a two-start guy? Is he not? The game got rained out today. It's not being made up until August 30th. This is likely going to push his start back to Monday of next week. And it was kind of iffy. Is he Sunday? Is he Monday? So hopefully he's going to end up that way. Otherwise, we're just, you know, wasting time talking about this guy.
Got some things.
I don't want to. I don't want to say he's a desperation play because he's looked good in his, you know, his outings so far this year. First one was kind of rough, but his last outing at Cincinnati, 6 1/3 innings, 2 earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. I'll take that, especially against that lineup. Mainly I want him for the St. Louis start because that's an offense that it's really struggling right now. He's not pitched in the majors since 2021 because of a combination of injuries and delayed surgery and rehab and all that. San Diego's offense is top third with power. Granted, they played in a couple extra games, but he has been elite at inducing ground balls this year, getting them at a 57.1% rate. He's got a 22.7% strikeout rate, 9 K/9. He's got just a 9.4% swinging strike rate, but a very healthy 17.5% called strike rate. His walk rate is very high at 13.6%. And that's some noise with dealing with a small sample size. But looking at St. Louis, they average fewer than 3 walks per game. So I'm not super concerned about that aspect. Again, the San Diego start gives me a little bit of trepidation. When you look at, I mean, I always know it as Miller Park. I don't know what the hell they call it up there now. He gets San Diego at home. It plays like a pitcher's park, but it does have a hard time holding in home runs. They do allow it, more than average home runs there, but I think a lot of it has to do with whether or not they have the roof open there. I think he can get you 25 points, maybe push for 30.
Okay. Yeah, he really has done pretty well. The whip slightly elevated, but you know, he's allowing a few too many base runners, but doing a nice job at really limiting the damage so far through those two starts. Just allowed 2 earned runs in over 10 innings through those first two starts. So, you know, going forward, he's going to remain in the rotation at least until Wade Miley or Jacob Junis come back and see if they're able to return. So this is a guy that I would pick up this week and then I'm dropping. I'm not going to even keep him probably week 5. So, you know, you're going to place him with another 2-start pitcher for week 5, who we will have for you next Thursday for our 2-start or not 2-start.
Hell yes. I mean, there's, you know, like I said, he's a desperation play. You know, this is something where, you know, if you've lost a couple of guys to injury this week or you look at the schedule next week and maybe your opponent has 11 or 12 starts and you've got to do something to try and catch back up and even that out. He's somebody you can run out there. I don't think he's going to kill you, but he's definitely not going to make your week either.
All right. So that was a few guys that we like. Now we want to talk about, you know, a couple higher owned guys that are liked. For some reason I didn't do Hunter Brown's. What's Hunter Brown's, you know, off the top of your head?
What do you mean?
His ownership?
82%.
Yeah. Thank you. So Hunter Brown with the Houston Astros, 82% owned. I didn't have him. So right off the bat, I'll give a warning too. There's some conflicting info. Could start Monday the 15th or the 16th at home versus Atlanta, depending on the source. ESPN, it's Tuesday. CBS, it's Monday. So that could affect the two starts here. But it doesn't really fucking matter given how he's looked. I'm recommending, you know, you don't start this guy next week. In fact, I'm benching him from here on out if I'm you. And I'm taking a long damn look at dropping him altogether. If you saw today's start versus the Royals, you'll see why. Wow. One hits, 1 walk, 9 runs, all earned by him. He was chased after 2 outs in the first with 40 pitches thrown. That is mucho negative fantasy points, folks. Those are the starts that just fucking kill you, and you can lose a week, but you know, because of it. Side note, Vinny Pasquantino's been on a tear this week. 7 RBIs the last couple games, 5 last night, a couple today. All right. Sorry, guys. A little tangent there. Back to Hunter Shitty Brown. That actually sounds good because, yeah, he looks like shit. So he's not going. So it seems like the theme for him is not going long into games. In his 2 starts versus the Yankees and Rangers, he lasted just 4 and 3 innings respectively. Those 2 starts, he sported a 6.43 ERA. He was 0-1, 12 hits, 5 earned, 6 walks, and 8 Ks. With his start tallied on to that, now his ERA has ballooned, just fat up ballooned to 16.43 with a just disastrous 3.91 whip. He's got that high 15% walk rate. That is just not a trait you want to see in a fantasy pitcher at all, nor is a hard hit rate north of 50%. Now, not too much behind him. Batting averaged against is 364, which is horrible, by the way, but a very high BABIP of 458. This is not what you paid for with an ADP around 158 and about $9 to $10 in auction values. Looking back on our starting pitcher preview video, my remark on him was, you know, it was certainly possible that he enjoys a breakout campaign in his age 25 season, but it's just as likely his strikeout percentage declines and he becomes more of an innings eater. Well, his K has declined while doubling his walk rate, and he's 8, fucking 8 in entire 7 2/3 innings. Stay away, folks. Stay away.
Yeah, he's somebody who is occupying a bench spot for me right now. I did not start him this week, thankfully. And, yeah, and you look at those 2 starts versus Atlanta and at Washington. This is a guy, and you touched on this a little bit. He's in the bottom 15% in expected batting average, exit velocity, chase rate, whiff rate, walk rate, and hard hit rate. That's not good. And quite frankly, I would not be shocked if he gets sent down. Yeah. He was a popular sleeper this draft season because of the strikeout potential. But when you have, you know, 8 and 3 starts to go with 7 walks, no.
Oh boy.
And it's amazing to me that he came into play today with that 458 BABIP and it managed to get worse. Like, get the hell out of here. He is the first pitcher ever to allow 11 hits in less than 1 inning pitched. So he made some baseball history today. He's also not really getting a whole hell of a lot of movement on his secondary pitches. And this is almost a rhetorical question at this point, but it almost seems like he's not dialed in yet.
Yeah.
And we're seeing evidence of that on the field. I'm somebody that drank the Kool-Aid on him. I had him last year and I was looking forward to getting him this year. And now he's one of those pitchers that I regret starting. Drafting. I haven't started him yet. And I don't know how much longer he's even going to earn a place on my team, regardless of whether or not Houston sends him down.
Yeah, exactly. I have him in the podcast listener league, and he's getting dropped this week. It's happening.
Yeah. Good luck with him. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah.
So we got one more dude that we're not really quite all in on. For me, it's Cody Bradford of the Texas Rangers. He has games at Detroit and at Atlanta.
I mean, that Atlanta, if that's not enough to right, stay away, I'm not sure what is, but,
with him, there is a lot of regression coming. He's got a 176 BABIP. So just the opposite of these dudes that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
A 2.8% walk rate. No, he's not going to do that. He's only walked 2 guys in 3 starts. All 3 of his starts have been at home, and 2 of the 3 have been against either Oakland or a unexpectedly struggling Houston Astros team. He is a fly ball pitcher. Fly ball pitchers are very volatile. He doesn't throw very hard, but he generates some swing and miss, especially with his slider that's got a 57.1% whiff rate and his changeup, which has a 35% whiff rate. I'm going to read you this triple slash: 303, 364, 500, 864 OPS. That is how the Atlanta Braves are hitting as a team. So they are the polar opposite of the Minnesota Twins. the matchup versus Detroit looks good, right? And it pains me to say that. I'm a Tigers fan. Their hitters have struggled for the better part of the season. However, they don't really strike out a lot, and they're very disciplined at the place. They don't really chase out of the zone all that often. They're middle of the road in terms of quality of contact. They have the lowest first pitch swing rate in the league. They are a very patient team at the plate. And while the Detroit offense is not great, the hitters in that lineup are going to make him earn it.
Yeah. They're sneaky.
They are. They're sneaky. They're the term cardiac cats gets thrown around all the time. And sure. At this point it's cliche. But there's no quit in that team. They are going to fight you through all 27 outs. All that said, I still think he can get you 25 plus points, but he's going to have to make his hay against Detroit because I don't see him being all that effective at Atlanta.
No. And to be honest, we didn't really expect Cody Bradford to be in the rotation that long anyway, with the return of Michael Lorenzen coming back. But today, Bruce Bochy said on Corey Bradford on staying in the rotation, you throw like that, you're not going anywhere. So maybe they're keeping him around. We'll see. I don't like him either. Not this week. There's some things to like about him, but not against Atlanta. Not against, for instance, the Dodgers. You just need to stay away from these matchups as much as possible.
Sure. And even a statement like what Bruce Bochy said, you pitch like that, you stay in the rotation. That doesn't mean his ass has a long leash. That just means while you're pitching well, sure, you can go out there every fifth day. But yep. You start to screw up and have fun sitting out in the bullpen, lighting each other's cleats on fire or whatever the hell it is they do out there.
All right. So a couple two starts we don't like. Now we want to talk about some waivers for this upcoming week and, for the future, really, some of them. First one we have today is obviously a no-brainer. We can't really go without talking about him, this exciting young guy for Baltimore. Jackson Holliday, shortstop there. Interesting, he did start at second base yesterday, had his first game. He went 0-4, two strikeouts, but did have an RBI ground out to first, which was nice. So he got the call up this week. So not sure why, but whatever. Could have just kept him on the opening day roster, but what do I know? So, this is the guy that last year had some fucking video game stats, right? just sick. 323, 442, 499 slash line. He's still 24 bases, 154 hits, 113 runs scored. And really, what, he's so young. What is he, 21, right? No, he's 20. The best stat, in my opinion, for a 20-year-old, 101 walks against just 118 strikeouts. It just shows a maturity beyond his years for just a 20-year-old. There's several major leaguers in the league that couldn't do that in two seasons, maybe even three seasons, 101 walks. So there's a reason he rocketed up, the minor leagues with such an abnormal pace, just making his ML debut 21 months after draft night. So if he's available, grab him immediately. He could start at second base, shortstop, and possibly third base this season. So that'll add to his value even more next year, even if like a keeper or dynasty league. He is rostered 86% on Yahoo, but he has got a 10% boost in the last 24 hours. So if he, by chance, he's available in your league, you snag him up.
Oh, for sure. We got Sway in the chat. He's 41% stoned on sports. Keep puffing, brother. You'll get the rest of the way there.
Right.
Look, this is probably the most obvious waiver wire target we're going to discuss this year. He was the number one prospect in baseball. He's going to be hitting ninth in the order while he gets his feet wet. But he's somebody who excelled at getting on base at every level of the minors. He's got a 60 grade hit tool and a 60 grade game power. That's going to take a while to develop, though. He only had 15 home runs while he was in the minors, but he played at four levels last season and more than held his own at AAA as a 19-year-old. I mean, the dude's just a stud. The damn Orioles machine of just churning out prospects continues to run. Holy shit, dude. That team is stacked, and you look at their AAA team, and that team is stacked a little bit less so now with Holiday being gone, but still, like, damn, man, I hope the Tigers can get to that point.
Yeah, now imagine they played in an easier division.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking sure. of the AL East,
right?
Our next waiver wire target, Jose Siri of the Tampa Bay Rays. This dude is absolutely destroying breaking balls this year, a 429 average and a 643 slug. He's got 93rd percentile sprint speed. He's making great hard contact so far. 50% hard hit rate, a 91.2 mile an hour average exit velocity. His strikeout rate is through the roof at 38%. That's just kind of who he is, though. Not to say that that is an acceptable amount, but his walk rate is also up 14%. And it looks like there's been some approach changes as he's cut his chase rate by 13 points and his swinging strike rate is down by 2 points. He's actually one of those rare players that does better versus same side pitching. His average is 50 points higher versus righties, and his OPS is 150 points higher versus righties. I think if he continues to get regular playing time, he's going to be a legit threat to steal 25 bags, but that high ass strikeout rate has to be a concern, and it's not something you can just disregard either.
No. At the beginning of the season, he set a personal goal of stealing 30 bags this season. He's well on his way with those six. So he's very valuable in roto leagues as well. And don't forget, he belted 25 homers last year and adding 12 stolen bases in 15 attempts. So he's displayed some pop the first 12 games, going deep once and adding the three doubles. That strikeout rate you mentioned, it is too high, but that improved 263 batting average and a 404 on base percentage is pretty good. And he's going to be in the lineup. He's very excellent defensively in center field. So he'll be in there, I think, even with dry spells on offense. So this might be the year that he finally finds better consistency with the bat. I'm here for it.
For sure. And that's one thing we don't really talk about enough on here. When it comes to fantasy baseball, we don't give two shits about defense, but players that play good defense stay in the lineup.
Yep. It's a very good point. Thanks for driving it home.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Now we're going to talk about his teammate, Jose Caballero.
Yarrow.
Thank Caballero. Thank you. Second base, third base, shortstop eligible. He is owned 31% in Yahoo, 20% gain in the last 24 hours. Folks, get out there and grab him if you can and ride this hot streak. In 11 games, he's 13-41, three doubles, a homer, six RBIs, seven runs, zero walks. You know, you like to see some more of those. Nine Ks, but does have five stolen bases. So him, you know, he's just behind Jose Siri in stolen bases on the team. He's slashing 351, 375. 514 slugging for an 889 OPS. That's not too surprising because he was a rookie last year with the Mariners, I believe, and swiped 26. So what is surprising this year is that 351 average, you know, improving greatly with a mark of last year of 221. So another guy who's playing good defensively, he's playing some slick shortstop. The offensive what he's contributing offensively, it is awesome. That I think, especially in the bottom of the Rays lineup, I think that makes him a hot waiver wire pickup to go along with that multi-position eligibility. The zero walk sucks, yeah, but the OPS is still 375. That's fucking excellent. I'll take that all day. I think the walks will improve. He was just around 10% last season. So, like I mentioned when I started, ride out this hot wave while it lasts.
Yeah, and he's been much more aggressive at the plate this season. His swing rate is up 15%. But that's also been accompanied by a 6.8% whiff rate increase. So something to keep in mind. You talked, hey, that 10% walk rate last year, outstanding. Okay. I am concerned his average and on-base percentage is being carried by a 429 BABIP, and he's getting next to no hard contact this season. Just a 33.3% hard hit rate average exit velocity of just 81.4 miles an hour. I've said this earlier about somebody else, and I forget exactly who it is, it was, but right now he's just hitting them where they ain't.
Yep.
And you know what? Any way you can get on base, especially with his ability to swipe bags, I'm going to take it. But I have more concerns that I'm going to be watching him closely, because I think this is just a hot streak. Yep. As opposed to, hey, he's turned a corner and he's this awesome player. I think he's going to be streaky throughout the year. Ride him while he's hot, drop him when he's not. If you see things start to pick back up, I can't imagine people are going to be running to the waiver wire to pick him up once he starts to cool off. So he should be there for you later on this year.
Agreed.
You know, we've not talked about any pitchers yet for waiver wire pickups. This one right here is just baffling to me. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Jared Jones of the Pittsburgh Pirates, look at him there showing off that taco meat. At the time I started doing this research, he was just 62% owned, which I don't understand how that can be.
It is. It can't 10%, he's 10% in the last day, though, so people are out there grabbing him, so be quick.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I don't understand how he's not 90% owned or more, especially with all the injuries that we've seen. And usually when I take notes, you know, I'll look at a few different websites and jot down a few things with him. I just took a screenshot of his StatCast page. 95th percentile fastball velocity, chase rate, whiff rate, strikeout rate, walk rate, and extension are all in the top 10%-ish. 5%. He does give up a lot of hard contact, though. 57.1%. He's got a 21.4% barrel rate, and the average exit velocity at 91.2 miles an hour are certainly cause for a concern. And his ground ball rate at just 35.7%. That's a bit below average. But you look at his arsenal, his four-seam and slider, which combine for about 80% usage, each have a whiff rate over 42%. He's been around 120 innings pitch each of the last two seasons. So he could improve on that a little bit more. Maybe he gets up to 140 innings pitched, maybe 135. But this is a young live arm that the team does not want to screw up, because him and Paul Skeens would make one hell of a pairing over the next 5 to 6 years. But it's not like we're going to get to August and they're just say, all right, you're done. You know, they'll skip a start. They'll push starts back a few days. They'll pull him in the fifth instead of the sixth, something like that. And one thing to keep in mind, his home run rate is high, 4.2%. Like, his ass, when they make contact, they're tagging his ass. So it's something to keep in mind as the season goes forward. But right now, he's another dude who has come up and just looked fantastic. And I'm happy to have a spot for him in my rotation as long as he continues to look that good.
Yeah. And you mentioned Paul Skeens, and really, Jared Jones was probably overshadowed by him coming into the year, but it's time for you to all pay attention for sure. Two big league starts, that 17 strikeouts over the 11 and two third innings is just awesome. And watching some video on him, that his heater and that knockout slider, some opposing hitters look pretty fucking straight up baffled. So with at least among pitchers with at least 10 innings this season pitched, he's just 22, folks, but 22-year-old righty ranks fourth with a 35% strikeout rate and first with a ridiculous 20.7 swinging strike percentage. It's a small sample, but still incredibly impressive.
It is. I mean, and that really just speaks to his stuff. I mean, if you've got major league hitters out there that are at times struggling to put the bat on the ball with your offerings, you're doing something right. It's just when they hit it, they're sending that shit to the damn moon.
Absolutely. All right. Last guy we're going to talk about, one more pitcher that lowly owned, under 50%. We're talking about Sean Manaea with the New York Mets. Dual eligible as well. Extra value there. Always helps out. He's 45% rostered, plus 17% in the last 24 hours. Go out and grab him, folks. He's a great he's a good candidate to replace some of these injured pitchers. In two games so far, he's 1-0, 11 innings pitched, which is four hits against. He's faced a total of 41 batters. allowed one earned run, four walks, and 14 strikeouts. He's delivered 39 fantasy points across those two starts against decent Reds. The Reds offense is pretty good. I'll say against decent Tigers offense, too. We mentioned kind of sneaky. So he's doing well and not allowing a ton of hard contact, just 33%, and a great average exit velo of 86.2%. That's good for top 25% in the league. So that is helping him out as well. He struck out 24% of batters he's faced since the beginning of 2022. And this year he's at 34.1 so far. He's not a flamethrower. So he's not, you see the high strikeouts, you think that he's a power pitcher. He's not. Hardly so. His fastball, which he does throw 55% of the time so far this season, is only thrown right around 92.9, 93 miles an hour. So I like his stuff. Some concerns with his fly ball rate. It's kind of high at 52%. It's around double the MLB average. And some of that is caused so far. If you look at the launch angle so far this year, he's up over 5% from last season. So, great scores and whiff and chase rates. I think those are helping him get outs and eat innings, where he's in the top 30% of the league in both of those. He's the fifth guy there in the rotation, maybe the fourth with Tyler McGill on the injured list. So he's a committed starter there. What I'm seeing so far, there's a hint there that his year-to-date returns are closer to his true fantasy value than his disappointing seasons he's had in the past. 2020, 21 were pretty poor. So add him if you can for some depth. He's got a great matchup versus the Royals on Saturday. Yeah, we did mention that they've scored some runs. They're sneaky good too, but not good. But I don't recommend starting him on Friday, April 19th against the Dodgers. So next week, week four, good. Week five, not so good. But then projected starts against the Giants and the Cardinals coming up. So grab him now. You know, think ahead, peer into the future and see. You know, speaking of the Dodgers, I'm advocating, and I think Matt can agree, do not start any pitcher or any guys versus the Dodgers this season. No pitchers versus the Dodgers this season. If you have to, you know, may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah. I mean, a healthy Garrett Cole, I would start against them. And Corbin Burns and a healthy Strider. And I think those are about the only three dudes that I would say, all right, go on out there.
Two are hurt, so.
Right. You know, and one of them ain't coming back. Well,
right.
Presumably, right. We'll find out here this weekend. So Derek's back in here, just got caught up. Brown cost him a cool negative 30 Ooh. Points today.
Yeah, that's what he was in our league too, our home league, I think.
Yeah, that shit was rough, and I was fortunate that he was on my bench. Just because he's not looked all that great this year, I'm not ready to drop him just yet because there is some talent there. But holy shit, one or two more bad outings, and he's going to find himself out there on the waiver wire and probably there for a good amount of the season. But talking about Sean Manaea, I think if you're somebody who is a little more impatient or doesn't believe that Hunter Brown can turn things around, Sean Manaea, great replacement for him.
Absolutely.
Understand there's going to be some regression coming. He's got just a 190 BABIP right now. But also his fly ball rate and line drive rate are both well above his career norms. And he got just three runs of support in his two starts. You mentioned you only give up four hits. Do you want to say Tigers got one of those? Let's go Tigers. Nice. All in all, I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes the season with a 9+ K per nine and walks per nine right around three. You did mention Kansas City and Dodgers and San Francisco as his next three starts. I'd run him out there for a couple of them, especially yep. San Francisco in that spacious Absolutely. Ballpark. In a team that's struggling offensively right now, but who knows where they're going to be. But it all goes back to the point that we've been trying to make. Think ahead. Don't just look at next week. Don't just look at the next matchup. Look at the next couple matchups. Absolutely. Because everybody else is just looking at who do they start against next.
And it is great advice. Great. I'm in line with your thinking there. Everybody really should be looking ahead. It gives you a hell of an advantage, man. It really does. And yep. If you're, you know, haven't gotten your first championship, look ahead. I know why. Yes.
One day you'll win something, buddy. I believe.
Yeah. I'm always successful. I just never can fucking win it. Yep. But all awesome. Right. Well, cool beans.
Yep. That's going to wrap up today's show. We appreciate everybody stopping by. Again, if you haven't already, drop a like and subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything. And it'd mean a lot to us. We're trying to build this channel and build this community and have a little bit of fun while we're doing it. We are going to be back here next Tuesday. A little spoiler, we might have a special guest. Maybe yes. We're going to talk about some prospects. I know we haven't brought them up in several weeks now, and you've got, well, tomorrow is the service time deadline. So any prospect called up tomorrow or later, the team is going to get an extra year of control because they won't have the requisite 172 days on the active roster. And this is around the time where you start to see a lot of prospects get called up because the teams, you know, they game the system. It is what it is. I think that's going to be a fun conversation.
It is for sure. Remember, we have our website, stonedownsportspodcast.com. We have our rankings on there as well, position rankings for MLB. All the episodes are on there as well. Check it out. I guess that's it, folks.
Tuesday it is. We hope you guys have a great weekend. Check out our other videos while you're at it as well. And if there's something you want to see us talk about that we haven't yet, drop it in the comments. We're happy to do so.
Absolutely. Have a good night, folks. Stay stoned.
Stay stoned.